a chief in Africa called all his men to come to his hut in the center of the village. It was his fear, he said to them, that there were no longer any real men in the village. He had the impression the men were being ruled too much by their wives. To find out if this was true, he asked all the men who felt their wives bossed them around to leave the hut through the door on the right. Those who felt they were in charge at home should leave through the door on the left. Lo and behold, all the chief's men left through the door on the right except one who stood all alone. He finally left through the door on the left, so the chief called the men together and again gave a speech to praise to this lone wolf. At least one man in this village is a real man, he said. Could you please share with us your secret? The man looked rather sheepish and lastly muttered, Chief, when I left home this morning, my wife said to me, Husband, don't follow the crowd. You know, marriage in America is in a state of crisis. With more marriages ending in divorce and even fewer having truly satisfying marriages, we can see that things are truly broken. Well, it should come as no surprise, as it is with every area of life, as we turn to Scripture and glean from principles there, we will see how God has designed things and how He ultimately has provisions for us about how things are supposed to work. And as one of our topics leads us to Ephesians chapter 5, let's turn there and see what the Apostle Paul has to say. I actually cherish the opportunity to speak on marriage this morning because usually that's Rick's default responsibility over the summer as that topic has come up. But since this passage does have some buzzwords that might make some of us cringe, all I can say is hear me out. Because everyone comes out a winner in this passage. And I really do believe, whether you're a young person, whether you're a single person, whatever it is, there's value in this passage in terms of what God communicates really about men and women in the context of talking about marriage. So it says here in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22, working all the way till 33, it says, Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, I just have to make note that Paul starts and ends his instruction on marriage here with the woman, and starts with talking about submission and ends with respect as their part in the marriage dynamic. And I think that change is significant because I think the first one is more about the dynamics and the structure of marriage, and the other is a part of the heart of the wife in terms of responding to her husband. Yet ultimately, I think the husbands get the bulk of the instruction here and get the harder job that's involved. I mean, ultimately, realize the husband is compared to Jesus. All the woman has to do is respond to the husband like the church responds to Christ. But the husband is given the role of Christ, to lay down his life and his love his wife like Christ loved the church. But I think the first thing I would ask you to make note of here and think in terms of is don't think of your part as a man or woman as something you do, but something you do for the other person that brings a benefit to you. Because the reason you, husband, are called to love your wife like Christ loved the church is because to be loved is her greatest need. And when it comes to you, wife, respecting your husband, God asks you to do that because your husband's greatest need is to be respected. And what we have to see is how interrelated these two dynamics are. Now, I am going to be sharing a lot of insight from a book by Dr. Emerson Eggerich that is titled Love and Respect. And basically what he describes there is how effectively when a woman is not being loved by her husband, it's hard for her to respect him. And then on the other hand, when a husband doesn't feel respect for his from his wife, it's very hard for him to love her. And in fact, as they operate in what Dr. Emmerich calls the crazy cycle, where he continues not to love, she continues not to respect, when it makes it harder for him to love and then harder for her to respect, it just cycles down into a pattern of negativity. Her mantra oftentimes becomes, why doesn't he love me the way I love him? And his mantra is, when will I ever be good enough? And yet the opposite is also true. When a wife is loved by her husband, it becomes easier for her to respect him. And on the other hand, when a husband is respected, it is easier for him to love. See, God knew what he was doing by putting these dynamics in place because he knew how he made men and women. So the reason you play your part is for the sake of the other, but it ultimately brings the benefit back to you. I think, in fact, that's why Paul actually says, when you love your wife, you're actually loving yourself. Because when you love your wife becomes a better wife to you. And see, that's not surprising to me. Because hopefully understand this, a dynamic in the Christian life is that when we come before God with obedience, humility, and sacrifice, there is a reward on the other end. There's something God gives us to affirm what we're doing is right. And I think that's the dynamic that plays out in terms of marriage. But this really brings me to the second point that I'd like to make here. And that is the reason why respect is commanded for the woman and love is commanded for the man is both work against our natural inclinations. And that was for a man to love and a woman to respect is actually opposite of their natural inclinations. You know what the Bible never says to a woman? The Bible never tells a woman to agape her husband. Never. At no point in time in the Bible does the Bible tells a husband here, agape your wife, unconditional wife. Never tells a woman to unconditionally love her husband. You know why? Because she's been made that way. God fashioned that inside of a woman to have unconditional love. And so what I would ask you to think about in terms of just the dynamic between you and your husband is that rather than thinking about unconditional love, one thing the Bible does ask a wife to do is phileo her husband, which is to have brotherly love towards him. It's really more like a like. Because what I can assure you, women, is that your husbands know that you love them. But what they may not know is that you like them and that you respect them. And unlike you, he would rather be respected than loved. Your husband would rather be respected than loved. See, but that's hard for you because you are wired to love. You look through life in the eyes of love. I think this is why this message and these principles here go beyond just marriage. If you're dealing with any man, ladies, they are thinking differently than you. They are thinking through a lens and a perspective and eyes and ears, hearing things, seeing things from the perspective of respect. And a woman is always thinking from a perspective of love. This is actually an interesting dynamic actually happened between me and my daughter. I mean, where I actually told my daughter that there was a car that was available, and I said, you know something? I bought this car for you. Now, she heard that, and she said and thought to herself, you're buying this car, so it's my possession. It's mine to keep or whatever. And I'm thinking, I bought it for you to take care of your responsibilities, to do the things you have to. Like, in other words, it wasn't, I'm not giving you a car, but rather it's because of your need that I want to satisfy. But see, that's how different men and women can be, just like the man and woman that faces their closet and says, I have nothing to wear. What that means for a woman, there's nothing new or nothing that matches. For a man, it means there's nothing clean. See, men and women just think differently because we think, again, women think relationally according to love. Men think more about activity, production, and decision-making. And that's why oftentimes, again, a man would rather be respected than loved. I mean, asking yourself if you don't believe me. I mean, that's an important thing in this dynamic. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. And it's not like women don't need respect and men don't need love. I'm not saying that. I mean, where would we be without Aretha Franklin's song? You know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, that is what it means. But what you don't know is that song was written by a man. Otis Redding wrote that song, produced it 2 years before Aretha Franklin sang it. And so it was also his expression as a man looking for respect. Another affirmation of this is 400 men were asked the question, if you were forced to choose one of the following, which would you prefer to endure? To be left alone and unloved in the world, or to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? One or the other, to be left alone and unloved in the world, to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. 74% of the men said they'd rather be left alone and unloved in the world. And you know something? I bet if you ask women, 74% of them would say, I'd rather be disrespected and disregarded by everyone. Again, it's a completely show of hands right now. We won't do that. And let me just tell you, ladies, that your attempts to change him, particularly when you criticize him, he internalizes that as contempt and disrespect. And when you men then shut down because of that, you become silent because you perceive that she's not respecting you. She sees that silence as hostility. She sees that silence as being unloving. See, the sad thing for you ladies is that you sometimes see your correction as loving, or you're at least giving that correction because you're feeling unloved. But see, now what the dynamic usually plays out is, again, you're feeling unloved, so you then correct. See, you press into the matter. When you're feeling unloved, that has to be resolved. That has to be dealt with. The man now internalizes that criticism as a lack of respect, and he, in some ways, doesn't even know what to do with it because his emotions are going all over the place, and he doesn't know how to manage those. He's also doing the honorable thing that I'm not going to get to a point where I get riled up, where I hit her or say something I regret. So oftentimes, the man retreats. He becomes silent. So now the woman sees that silence and says, wait a minute, I need to press into that more. I need to ask him more questions. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Tell me what you... And he's just saying, whoa. I'm seeing all that as a lack of respect. Is that a common dynamic? Did I just describe last week's conversation or dinner conversation? I mean, this is not the only thing you need to understand about marriage. But I do believe this whole dynamic of love and respect, of again, what's presented to us by our God in heaven, undergirds everything. And what we have to be careful of in the context of our marriages, in the context of even, again, parent, father, daughter, cross-gender, where again, we're operating in a different world. Just to go to those people and to go to your daughters and say, do you feel like I'm being unloving? Because you know something, I'm speaking a different language than you. And then the other way for moms to go to their sons and say, am I disrespecting you? Because again, there's an aspect of how God has created them that plays out in this dynamic. See, we have to recognize that we tend to operate from our own natural inclinations, women loving and men respecting, but God calls us to be the opposite for the sake of each other. And that actually brings me to the third point that I'd like to make, and that is that both love and respect are sacrificial. Both parties have to be out on a limb to do it. I mean, ultimately, when you talk about a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church, I mean, what picture does that put in your mind? What level of sacrifice, what level of commitment, what role does that give the husband in terms of his wife of the nature of sacrifice and even, I would say, submission to his wife? I think it's great. See, I think you can't love someone to that extent without submitting themselves to them. See, I think this whole dynamic that's created by this passage, and maybe even misapplied or misinterpreted through the ages, is that it's a false dynamic of this power and authority thing, and who's the boss and who's the head. You know, there is submission in the submission or the respect that a woman is offering her man, but there's also a submission that is about the love that a man gives his wife. It's just a different kind of submission. See, that submission that's described in 5:22, it's not overlording. It's not given to the man because somehow you're less important or lower or less able. It's just the dynamic that God created, but then he fashioned the man to be affirmed in that. See, when it comes to the man, sacrifice and submitting to his wife in terms of meeting her needs, being kind, doing things that, again, go against his natural inclination. I am submitting myself to you to meet your needs. See, that's the submission that a husband gives to a wife, and that's what affirms her, because that's what's central to her heart. But now the submission that a wife gives to a husband is, I trust you. I respect you. I value your input. I value your decision making. And again, both parties are called to submit. It's submission that has a different feel. It has a different heart at the other end because God is looking for us to be affirmed, the other person to be affirmed by our activity. How many of you surprised that God would make marriage selfless? That again, in your first action, in the first thing you're doing, I'm not thinking about myself. But I promise you, men, you love your wife like Christ loved the church, and you're going to help her respect you in the way that you want to be respected. Likewise, women, if you respect your husband the way God would have you to respect him, you will open the door for him to love you in the way you want to be loved. And I promise you this, barring there being, again, I don't want to, I'm always hesitant to be stereotypical about a typical man or a typical woman, but I just see this so categorically in the hearts of people, I'm tempted to say, you will never get love from a man that doesn't feel respected, and you'll never get respect from a woman that doesn't feel loved. And so again, that's why God gives the dynamic to each of us where we are sacrificing and ultimately bringing a good result in terms of that. I would also say about this whole idea of the submission that's part of verse 22 here is that a good-natured, godly man does not want a doormat, but he does need respect. As Dr. Egeritz puts it, he wants to be the first among equals. She wants to be the first in priority. He wants to be the first among equals. She wants to be the first in priority. And men, as we even look at the headship that the Bible gives us here, and again, still giving us the role of Christ in terms of that, is that compromise is always the best solution. I think, again, when we're talking about the mutual submission that exists and the fact that I'm submitting what is normal to me to meet her needs, that if the compromise is the best way to express that in terms of both lending themselves to each other in terms of what actually happens in the house. And I would say this, ladies, and like the love he is to give you is unconditional, the respect you give him must also be unconditional. And that's probably different for you. Because I bet you've heard yourself say, or I'm sorry, some friend of yours have said, I'll respect him when he loves me the way I need to be loved. Have you at least thought that? you know, like you understand the desire for respect. Maybe you even understand the biblical command to respect your husband. But you're waiting back here saying, okay, he's commanded to unconditional love me. So until he does that, I'm not going to give my respect. But you know what? That's what causes men to feel like they're trapped, that they're in a hole that they can't dig out of. Because ultimately, if now then I'm responsible for both love and respect in the marriage, I'm responsible to create a love in my wife that leads her to respect me, and until I give that she's not gonna give me the fuel I need to generate that love. Let me ask you, ladies, how this sounds. Turn that image around and imagine him saying to you, I will love you when you give me the respect that I need. So you see, even as a society, we get more offended by that statement. See, for a man to ask for respect is like a dirty word. And what we have to face in terms of, again, the dynamic of this passage, the way that God has made men, is we are crying out for that. And again, the way we think, the way we perceive things, and even though I'm emphasizing this maybe more, just realize I'm doing this, ladies, because that's what you have to understand how a man ticks. See, this message is really about you, because I'm trying to help you get to the heart of your husband so that you can pull the trigger, turn on the light switch to free him to love you. Well, not pull the trigger. That's a rule. Flip the white. I do pray that the words I speak would be consistent with your truth. And so maybe that was a little too consistent. Yeah. Flip the white light switch that turns him on. That might be a bad analogy too. I'll just stop. Okay, let's pray. Let's close in prayer. But again, the biggest point of application in this message is we need to make sure that we are communicating this, that there can be open and frank conversation where a man goes to his wife and says, "Have I been unloving to you? As you're being critical, as you're pressing me, are you responding from how I've been unloving to you?" See, to take responsibility for the reaction that is offending you, to say, you know something, I probably created that. You know, and when the man is silent and he's retreating and he's going into his cave, rather than saying, what's wrong with you? I can't figure out. Men are strange. Say, what have I done to create that? Like, have I done something that has disrespected you? That, again, in terms of the formidable part of who you are, have broken something there. You know, a wife, you know, this was communicated in the book, and a wife was asked, if a man ever said that to you, that until you love me, until you respect me the way that I need to be respected, I'll never love you. And the Dr. Emirates asked her, how long would it take you to recover from that? And she said, forever. Well, again, now when a man hears that I'm not going to respect you until you love me, how long does it take him to recover from that in terms of how deeply a man can be hurt in the context of that? So again, the biggest point of application is just having the conversation. Is he feeling unloved and reacting to it? Is he feeling disrespected and reacting to this? See, again, it doesn't solve everything, but it is at the core of everything that opens the floodgates of communication. Now I do want to get into some practical points in terms of how is it that we as men can love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I want to get through all of these. There's like 12 points here, and so I need to go quickly. But ultimately, when you think, again, this is right from the book, and I would, well, yeah, we'll when you think about, again, loving your wife as Christ loved the church, what is she most looking for? Think of the word couple. Okay, couple. And the first C stands for closeness. That ultimately, more than anything else, a wife wants her husband to be close. You know, when they did the study on playgrounds and you looked at boys and how they interacted, how girls interact, girls talk face to face. guys talk shoulder to shoulder. And we'll see that with the men, that they need that. They need that man kind of relationship from their wives. That they want you with them, but in a different kind of way. You want them relationally and close. See, men, we have to look at the boundaries or the continuum of involvement and independence. I mean, there is an aspect of us men where we need to be away. We need to be doing our thing. We need to be hunting and providing and working and creating or whatever it might be. But we have to make sure that that independence does not then translate or does not compromise the involvement that our wives are looking for, particularly when it comes to family, particularly when it comes to her, particularly when it comes to the home. So the C is closeness, the O is openness. She wants you to open up to her. Silence is deafening to a woman. And men tend to be pretty close-lipped, particularly when it comes to weakness, failure, things that we feel would compromise our respect. We don't share that very readily. That is relationship gold to a woman. In other words, when you share that with a woman, when you open yourself up and show your vulnerability, that's exactly what she's asking you for. Because again, that's how women operate. See, that's how women express relationship and express love. You know, all the dynamics of greeting cards and restaurants and the way it's structured, you know what's it around? It's around the way women interact. You know, you try to find a card that talks about a woman respecting a man. You won't find it. You know, because greeting cards are oftentimes bought by women for women. And so what you have in greeting cards is love, 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 the language of love, never the language of respect. What I'm saying in the context of is, again, she wants us to be opening up to her. So the C is closeness, the O is openness, the U is understanding. This is the whole idea of don't try to fix her, just listen. You know, again, our manly tendency, again, what drives us is to be the protector, be the provider, be the one that's wise and makes good decisions. So we want to fix it. And you know something? She just wants to be understood. She just wants someone to listen. She just wants someone to share her heart with. So closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking is the P. And she wants you to say, I'm sorry. You know, there are things that we do, men, that if you took 100 people, 100 of them would say that's very unloving. You take other things we've done, and you take 50 men and 50 women, and the 50 women would say it's unloving, and the 50 men would understand exactly what you did. You get my point? Like, there are big things that we do that everyone would say is unloving. Then there are other things that your wife just understands is unloving. And it's important for her to hear you say that I'm sorry, that I did that wrong, that I was unloving to you, that maybe even to say I should have known better. Fifthly, she wants to know that you're loyal. C is closeness, O is openness, U is understanding, P is peacemaking, the L is loyal. That ultimately she has to know that she's the only woman in your life. You know, again, that is a consistent part of her makeup, how she's designed in terms of the love that she has in her heart. And ultimately, she has to feel that from you as well. And again, there's a lot of things, men, that we do that compromises that loyalty. And the E is esteem. That ultimately she wants you to honor and cherish her. She wants to hear how she is the most important thing to you. She wants to hear and know that while you're working, you are thinking of her. That is, again, you're doing the things that a man does and that makes you tick, but in the midst of that, you're willing to say, you know something, I'm still thinking about you. Because again, that's what makes her tick. You know, you're home from work and the typical dynamic, I know that doesn't exist too much anymore, but again, when you're coming home from work and she's had her day and she's taking care of house or kids or whatever it might be, And she wants to share the relationship stuff that's happened. You want to share the events and the productivity and the decisions and such. She wants you to recognize what she has done is important. And so closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, and esteem. And now how about for respecting your husband? What is it that, again, that churns his heart in terms of what you can do, ladies, in terms of building up the respect that you have for him? And that you think of chairs, like what you're sitting on, chairs. And the C is conquest. Appreciate his desire to work and achieve. Again, it's an essential part of what a man is. In terms of, again, he aligns himself to his ability to produce, his ability to fix, his ability to make decisions. Again, for a man, his life is very much external. But what he wants is his wife to appreciate and value and be proud of the things that he's doing. And so therefore, as we are fighting the good fight, doing what is required for the family to appreciate that desire, even though it sometimes runs contrary to your agenda and what's important to you, you find some way to appreciate that. In terms of the H in chairs is hierarchy. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide. Again, that's an essential part of what is in a man. In terms of what leadership he internalizes, how he expresses, you know, the typical dynamic of the man that, you know, his love language is service, his love language working. I mean, my father, you know, for all of his life, got up in the morning, went to work, did his job, came home, and had very little interaction with really anyone in the house. But to my dad, he was loving his family. And you know something? Yeah, there might be a place for a person like that to communicate that in spite of, again, what's natural for him. But there's also a part for us to internalize. You know, that's what that meant to him. He was loving in terms of the sacrifice he felt he was making because he was protecting and providing for his family in doing that. He was also German, so that might explain some of that too. Conquest, hierarchy, authority. Appreciate his desire to serve and lead. Again, when you think about the submission that God calls you to in Ephesians 5:22, the headship that is given to the husband, God made a man to be affirmed in that. So for him to do that, for him to take that role, for him to want that role, and you fight against him, you make it hard, you criticize him, you get your digs in. Again, you are hurting yourself. That's what we have to understand, that when a wife does not respect her husband, she's hurting herself. When a husband doesn't love his wife, he's hurting himself in terms of what dynamic is going to open them up in terms of them providing you what you ultimately need. The I in shares is insight. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. You know, this is the part of a man that runs against your desire to not be fixed. He wants to fix you. He wants to be the bright guy. He wants to be the one that has the deeper insight and the better thought and the better pattern. Be careful when you're disagreeing with a man's plans. You know, again, I'm not saying it's not appropriate to give input, but how you give that input can belittle a man in terms of, well, like, I was stupid for thinking this way. Like, what? I'm crazy to think this is the right thing to do. And sometimes you don't see it as anything because you're just operating from love and I'm trying to be loving and help him and whatever. And he's internalizing that as being disrespectful, as belittling him. And so you have to watch. And so you appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. The R in chairs, so it's conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, and relationship. Appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. See, you want your husband there with you close in a relationship so he'll talk to you. A husband wants his wife with him so they can play, so they can do stuff together. Then again, shoulder to shoulder, we're going someplace, we're accomplishing something, we're going to a movie, we're doing a sport, whatever it is, that you're joining me in my world. I want you there, but don't try to make it this woman thing. Like, just let it be, like if he never looks at you. Well, what did I think the Bronx actually, like, well, maybe I shouldn't. That sometimes the best conversations women have are in the car, because a man doesn't have to look at you. He can just look at the road, and he's going someplace, and he knows what he's doing. And again, that opens him up. So just appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. I hope I'm not getting into too much trouble here. but conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relationship, and the sixth in the S in chairs is sexuality. Appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. There is an aspect of who a man is in terms of his virility, in terms of his esteem, in terms of just his frustration, that again, that God has made him to have a drive in terms of those things. And I'll definitely not say anything more about that. It means something completely different to you. And again, just looking at that paradigm of, I'm approaching things from the viewpoint of love. My husband is going from a viewpoint of respect, and how that plays out in the various dynamics of our life. And I definitely wanted to save time for the last point I wanted to make, and it'll be brief, is just recognizing this passage that Jesus is the reference point for both parties, for both the wife and the husband. Because you know something, we will never accomplish this. We'll never understand what God is doing. We'll never be able to be the wife, be the husband that God desires for us without using Jesus as an example and also a source of power. See, even for the woman, in the way this is described here, is submit to your husband as you submit to Christ. In other words, do this for Jesus' sake. If you can't do it for your husband's sake, or even for your sake, do it for Jesus' sake, in terms of all that Jesus means to you. And men, if you want an example or a picture of how God wants you to love your wife, yeah, look at Jesus on the cross. Look at the love. Well, it's hard to love her. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and? Like, Jesus isn't able to overcome that? Jesus isn't able to fuel a love inside you for your wife? Find the places of obedience. Find the places of application where, again, you can even today start, how can I love my wife as Christ loved the church? How can I respect my husband as I respect Christ? And again, him as a reference point is, again, provides the example and the power for what ultimately God is asking us to do. Amen. Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we just do thank you for your word and just how it really does understand us. And we can see in it how you've made us. Father, I pray that whether this is a message for marriages that are struggling with this principle right now, and the marriage is in trouble, or whether it's to reinforce and improve a marriage that's good, or whether it is for a single person that is negotiating through relationships or wondering just what you're calling them to in terms of their relationships and how a marriage is to be and how a woman is to be or how a man is to be. Father, I pray that you use this in our lives and whatever you would intend and what we understand about how you've made a man, how you've made a woman, and how we function deep inside ourselves and how those needs need to be satisfied in order for us to become the people that you desire for us to be. Father, be our husband, be our wife in terms of just what you empower us to become, in terms of being the husbands and the wives that you desire for us to be. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.